The Sedra starts out with events that happened in the second year from Yetzias Mitzrayim, in the second month. And speaks about the census that they took, counting all the Jews, and how they set up the camp around the Mishkan, which tribes stayed on the north, the south, the east, the west, and which tribes were together. However, next week's Sedra, Naso, speaks about events that happened in the second year and the first month prior to this. The mitzvah of Korban Pesach, second time around, and Pesach Sheni, and then the dedication of the Mishkan with the sacrifices brought every day for 12 days by the heads of the tribes. So the obvious question is, even though the Torah does not always go in chronological order, Ein mukdim u'mu'achar b'Torah, has to be a reason, right, why the Torah would not say it in chronological order and put it in a different order to teach us something. So what's the lesson over here? Why is Bamidbar before Naso when the events of Naso happened before the events of Bamidbar? I'll explain perhaps in the following way. If we look at the Svarim of the Torah that we've already read and see what their themes are. Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer HaYetzirah because not only does it speak about the creation of the world, but most it speaks about the creation of the Jewish people and the roots, the Avos, the Imahos, the Shvatim, right? What are the roots of the Jewish people? This is the just like the creation of the world spoke about the roots and foundation of the world. And this spoke about the roots and foundation of the Jewish people, the qualities that are at what's the foundation of what we are as a people. Sefer Shmos is Sefer HaGeula, where all of those qualities were able to be brought out and brought to the surface. Okay, they were to a certain degree in bondage, right? And in order to bring them out, we needed that bondage. And then the Rabbanu Shalom redeemed us and redeemed our potential with us and brought us back to the status of our Avos, where the Shechinah rested on their tents, and now the Shechinah rested in Klal Yisrael. So we have the second book is the book of redemption, meaning bringing those qualities that were the roots and foundation of the Jewish people to the surface. And then Vayikra. Vayikra is once you have those qualities brought to the surface, you want to know what's it called, how to use them. So Vayikra is Torah's Kohanim. It's the Torah of the Kohanim, specifically the Kohanim who are Kohanim in the Jewish people, but in a larger sense, the Jewish people are the Kohanim of the world. We're a Mamleches Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh. We are an empire of Kohanim and a holy people. So the Torah delineates in Vayikra the tools that we'll need to be able to develop that potential that we have. So Sefer Bereishis speaks about where the potential came from, the roots. Sefer Shmos is the bringing of that potential to the surface. Sefer Vayikra delineates what tools we need to be able to develop that potential, that holiness. And now Sefer Bamidbar is the actual development, how the Jewish people in the desert developed that potential and brought it out, sometimes in a negative way, sometimes in a positive way, because whatever potential you have can be used for the good or the bad equally. So sometimes they functioned in a very not good way, and sometimes they functioned in a very good way. That's the book of Bamidbar. And the book of Devarim is the review of all of this before we went into Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Now the way to develop our potential as Mamleches Kohanim, as the empire of those who are supposed to represent God to the world, is by making ourselves holy. As we had in Parshas Kedoshim, Kedoshim Tiyu, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. You have to be holy, just as I, God, am holy, and that way you represent me. If you live a holy life, then you'll represent my holiness to the world. Okay. Holiness has three parts to it. aspects. The first is called Kedushas HaGuf, the holiness of the body. Next is Kedushas Makom, holiness of place. Place, Makom. And the third is Kedushas HaZman, the holiness of time. Body, place, time. Now the Ribono Shel Olam is beyond all of that, because God has no body, and He is beyond place. He is the place of the world. God's not His place. The world is not His place. And God has no time. He's beyond time. And that's what the Medrash means in Parshas Kedoshim. Kedoshim Tiyu. You have to be holy. Yochol Kamoni. I might think like me. Talmud Lomer Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I, God, am holy. Holier than you. Doesn't mean holier than you. What it means the following. My holiness does not depend on body, place, or time. But your holiness has to depend on body, place, and time. You have to sanctify your body, your place, and your time. That's unlike me, who's beyond all of those things. My holiness is intrinsic. Your holiness comes from body, place, and time. The order has to be the following. First, a person has to sanctify his being, his body, and make himself a person who functions in a holy manner. Because if he doesn't, then he can't benefit from being in a holy place, because he doesn't fit the place. First, he has to fit the place. So you have to be holy. Then, because you're holy, you sanctify the place when you're in, and then you can have the benefit of holy places around you. But if you're not a holy person in yourself, you're not going to be able to benefit or fit into a holy place at all. And then you can take that one step further and even sanctify time, which is the main component of this world, time. That what you do, everything that you bring Kedusha into this world is time. So that's the order. First you sanctify yourself, your being, then you sanctify the place, and then you sanctify time. Okay. And that, I think, is the meaning of the following Medrash. The Medrash says the Torah was given in three places. In Egypt, at Har Sinai, and in Ohel Moed. And I think these three things represent these three aspects. Egypt, there was no holiness of the place. The place was a totally unholy place. But the Jewish people were sanctified in Egypt. There they gained Kedushas HaGuf. They brought Korban Pesach, and they had Bris Milah, right? They became sanctified in their being, in their body. But the place wasn't yet holy. They were in an unholy place. Then they came to Har Sinai, and then they had Kedushas Makom. They had Kedusha of the place. The Ribono Shel Olam descended Kibiyachol on Har Sinai to give the Torah, and the place became holy. So they were in a holy place, Har Sinai. And finally, Ohel Moed means a tent of meeting. Moed represents Moadim, time. Now they could extend that holiness from their being and from the place to all places, because the Mishkan moved from place to place, and now they could extend the holiness into time, into what this world is all about, which is time. So that's the meaning of the Medrash. The Torah was given in three places. It affected their being, place, and time. And that's another Medrash, also, I think, alludes to this concept. It says the Torah was given in three mediums: Mayim, Midbar, and Esh. Water, desert, and fire. And I think these three things represent these three kinds of Kedusha. The first is water. Water represents the essence of a person, because that is the elixir of life, water. If you don't have water, you can't live. Right? So water, even more than food. Water, and beyond that, water represents purification of the body. You go into a mikveh. You have water of the paraduma sprinkled on you. Mayim tahorim. So that represents the kedusha and the tahara, the purity and the holiness of the body. Then there is the midbar. Obviously, place. Torah was given at a place. The place became holy. So that represents the Kedusha, the holiness of place. And finally, fire. Fire has no body to it, right? It's an ethereal energy. And it really has no place because it's not connected to a place. It's just there. But it emanates from a body of fuel, right? And it has to have a proper place where there's air. So it needs place and time, but it's not place and time. Fire is judged by how long it's going to last, is time. So the Torah was given to those three mediums. Water, which represents the body, the being of the person that has to be holy. Midbar, the desert, represents place. And fire represents time. Those are the three holiness. The Sfas Emes points out that it says Mishana Hashenis Letzeis Ameres Mitzrayim, from there going out of Egypt. Doesn't say Letzeis Bnei Yisrael, when they're going out of the Jewish people out of Egypt. Doesn't mention the Jewish people. It says they're going out. He makes an observation. He says not only did the Jewish people go out of Egypt, but time and place also left Egypt, meaning the place itself became free of the influences of Egypt. The times itself became, the Jewish people took with them themselves time and place and elevated them out of Egypt. And therefore, the Parsha of Naso represents the holiness of time. That's when they made the second Korban Pesach, which depends on time. A new date, a date came up that they could now make a holy date. And then if they missed it, you have another possibility, the second month, Pesach Sheni. And then it spoke about the day that the Mishkan was consecrated, and every day after that, each Nasi brought a sacrifice on that day specifically. So that whole Parsha is talking about the part that's after before this Sedra, talks about the holiness of time. This Sedra speaks about the holiness of being and place. How so? It starts with counting every Jew. Every Jew is important, and we count him Noso es Rosh, the head. And then what's it called? It says L'mishpach Osom, the families, according to their names, and L'gugul Osom, according to their skull. Okay? And Kol Yotzei Tzava, whoever goes out into the legions of Hashem. What's the idea? Kedusha Saguf, sanctifying your body, has met various aspects to it. The first, it starts with wisdom in your head. You have to know how to differentiate between holy and profane, between what's right and what's wrong. So it starts with your mind, with your Rosh, Su es Rosh. If you want to single out the being of the Jewish people and make them sanctify themselves, start with their head, with their Chochmah. If you don't have Chochmah, you can't make differentiations. If you can't differentiate, you can't be holy. Holiness means doing something with the right intentions, not the wrong intentions. Doing it for the sake of eternity, not for the sake of filling your stomach. So it starts with the Rosh. Then you have Mishpacha. The holiness of the Jewish people is not each individual to himself, but it comes from the Jewish family, from a purity of family purity, of husband and wife and father and mother and children and brothers and sisters. That's the holiness of the family, the mishpacha, the home. That's also part of the holiness of the body, is not just individuals, it's a whole home. And then all of this emanates from the potential that we have, the Beis Avosam, to our forefathers. All the way back, who came before us? The potential for us to sanctify our being comes from our Avos and Imos, from Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. They created that potential within us to be able to have holy, to be holy beings. And then the Gugul Osam, the skull. The skull is not the same thing as the head. The head represents the mind. The skull represents everything in the skull. Eyes, you have to sanctify your eyes, what you see, your ears, what you hear, your mouth, what you speak, and your breath itself, then your very being, right? Your the breath of life that you have becomes holy. So that is the what's it called. And then Kol Yotzei Tzava, those who go out to fight the battles of Hashem, which can mean simple physical battles, but it can also mean spiritual battles. You fight battles with your hands and your legs. That finishes off the body. So we have the head, which is the wisdom. We have the skull, which represents eyes, ears, nose, mouth. And then we have the hands and the feet. That's the totality of sanctifying the body. Okay? And to put the icing on the cake is according to their names. The name of something represents its essence. And that's why it says that a person has four names. The name that God gives you, the name your parents give you, the name your friends give you, and the name you make for yourself is the main one. And the way I understand it is, since name represents your qualities, we get our qualities in four ways. One is they're God-given as part of our personality, part of the qualities of our neshama, that God created us to serve a purpose, and He made us fit that purpose by giving us a certain personality, by certain character traits, talents, abilities, so on. Some of them you don't get directly in your neshama, but you get them through heredity. That's the name your parents give you. Some of them you get from learning from the environment around you. That's the name your friends give you. All of those are just potential. The main name is what you take that potential and make it something of your own. Right? Potential is like a big zero. If you have a lot of zeros, you have a lot of potential, it's still zero. But if you put a number in front of those zeros, then the more zeros, the bigger the number is. So too, if you put something in front of all that potential, what God gave you, what your parents gave you, what your friends gave you, then that's something. Then you have a name. If you don't, you end up with a lot of zeros, but still zero. Okay. And then, once you sanctify yourself in all of those aspects, then you can sanctify the place where you are. And you bring God's presence into this world, into a place, into the Mikdash, into the Mishkan. And you settle now around that. And each person is different where he settles. The north, the south, the east, the west. Everybody has their place. And now you sanctify the place also. That's the Golem. Everybody has their flag and their color. Right? And where they fit. Where their place is. That's the next stage of holiness. After you sanctify yourself, your being, then you sanctify the place where you are also and find your place in this world. And you bring God's presence into this world in place. And only after that can you sanctify time. Once you have your being, Kedushas Haguf, and your place, Kedushas Makom, the holiness of being and place, then you can have the holiness of time. Then you can project that holiness into this world, into time, which is what this world is all about. It's time. That's all it is. And therefore, even though when we left Egypt, potentially all of this existed, like we said, but it didn't come out until we actually were counted and we actually set up our the order of where we dwelt, right? And therefore, the Torah wants to portray to us the sequence of how a person has to go into sanctifying himself, his place and time, and therefore changes the order. The way it happened in the Midbar, right, because all of it existed potentially when we left Egypt and we got the Torah, right? So it happened in such a way that first we had Korban Pesach, and then we had the Mishkan, and then they counted them or whatever. But if you want to know how in the future it has to be, first you have to have the counting, which represents Kedushas HaGuf, everybody individually being holy as a person, as we explain, what the counting represents, the head, the what's it called, the skull, the names, the feet and hands, right, and family, and avos, and where you come from, right, your Masorah. And then you can have a holiness, bring God's holiness into place, the Mishkan, and where you find your place vis-a-vis that place. And only after that can you have the holiness of time. That's the next week's Sedra, where time becomes holy. What days of the year, days of the month, whatever, become holy. And the truth is that's what happened by Matan Torah. First, God separated them, right, that they should be holy in body, right, they had to separate from their wives, and the husbands and wives had to reach a certain purity and holiness that's in body. And then the Rabbanu Shel Olam quarantined or portioned out the mountain. They couldn't approach the holy place, where God's presence was. Then God's presence descended, and they couldn't come up to the mountain. Each one had a place where they could be. Most of the Jewish people were at the foot of the mountain. Some were able to go up a little higher, Moshe Rabbeinu to the top of the mountain. So there was kedusha of the place. And finally, God came down and gave the Torah on a special day. Then there was kedusha of time. And in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu added one day. He saw the Jewish people weren't ready. God was supposed to give the Torah on the sixth day of Sivan. And Moshe asked God to delay it one day, one more day, because you needed to be fully prepared with your holiness of your body and holiness of place before you could have holiness of time, before God could come and designate a time of Zman Matan Torah Seinu. That's what we say, Shavuos is Zman. It's a time when the Torah was given, right? Before that, the Torah had an effect on my body, on my place, and then on time also. So that is a lesson for Shavuos, that our job is to integrate the Torah first to our own beings and sanctify. Sanctify means using what we have physically, our physical beings, in a way that's not just to satisfy our physical needs in this world, but to do it for a more altruistic, more sublime purpose that's for the sake of eternity. And then, once we do that, so we sanctify the place that we're in and the place around us, and we find our place in this world and sanctify the place also. And after that, we can continue that sanctity into time and sanctify this entire world and everything that happens in this world. That's the sanctity of time. If we do that, then we'll be zoche that we should have the time when all these things come together, which is the times of Mashiach, that eventually lead to the times of Olam Haba, where we'll be beyond place, time, and body, and have kedusha similar to God's kedusha that's beyond all of that. Okay.
Next week, no.
Most of you won't be here either because you'll be celebrating Yontif.
Right.
Yeah. So no, I won't be here. I'll be here the week after that in Yirtz Hashem. And okay, this made sense.
Yes.
Okay. So I have a drasha for Shabbos. Thank you. Okay. I don't know what I would have done if you said no, but.
Wonderful.
Maybe cry, I don't know. Okay.